Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 4, entitled Sati Quits Her Body, and text number 9.
अरुद्रभागं तम अवेक्ष चाध्वरम् अरुद्रभागं तम अवेक्ष चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभौ अनादृता यज्ञ सदस्य अधीश्वरी अनादृता यज्ञ सदस्य अधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकं इव दक्षति रुषा चुकोपलोकान् इव दक्षति रुषा
वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग अरुद्र भागम हैविंग नो ऑब्लेशंस फॉर लॉर्ड शिवा तम That avekshya, seeing, cha, and adhvaram, place of sacrifice, pitra, by her father, cha, and deve, to Lord Shiva, krithahelanam, contempt having been shown, vibhav, to the Lord. Anadrita, not being received. Yajna Sadasi, in the assembly of the sacrifice. Adeshwari, Sati, Chukopa, became greatly angry. Lokan, the 14 worlds. Eva, as if. Dakshati, sorry, it's Dakshati, burning. Rusha, with anger. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Present in the arena of sacrifice, Sati saw that there were no oblations for her husband, Lord Shiva. Next, she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when he saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus, she became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. Purport. By offering oblations in the fire while chanting the Vedic mantra, Swaha, one offers respects to all the demigods, great sages and pitas, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. It is customary that Shiva is one of those who are offered respects. But Sati, while personally present in the arena, saw that the Brahmanas did not utter the mantra offering oblations to Lord Shiva. Namah Shiva, Shivaya Swaha. She was not sorry for herself, for she was ready to come to her father's house without being invited, but she wanted to see whether or not her husband was being respected. To see her relatives, her sisters and mother was not so important. Even when she was received by her mother and sisters, she did not care, for she was most concerned that her husband was being insulted in the sacrifice. When she marked the insult, she became greatly angry, and she looked at her father so angrily that Daksha appeared to burn in her vision.
Om Gyanatimrindasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Thapitam Yena Puladeh स्वयं कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरियत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारणम् वाञ्छकल्पद्रुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय पुतले श्रीमते भोजनप्रभुति नामिनि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय पुतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पार्श्वदेशस्थायिनि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। With your all devotees blessings, I would like to glorify our Lordship and Srimad Bhagavatam. We may prepare notes, but without blessings of Vaishnavas and spiritual master and Lord Krishna, we cannot glorify him. For example, Dhruva Maharaj, when Lord touched his lotus hand on his forehead, he could glorify Lord very nicely. He didn't go with the notes, you know, how to glorify. So we may prepare, but ultimately Lord inspires. So it's for my own purification and pleasure of devotees and Lordship. I'll try to recite Bhagavatam. So here, in this section, we see now Mother Sati has gone to her father's place and sacrifice is being performed. And she saw that her husband Lord Shiva is not being respected properly. So she is angry. This verse and the next verse just gives information that how angry she is. And then following verses we'll see how Mother Sati speaks to establish position of Lord Shiva, to make them aware, to make them realize that who are they dealing with, who Lord Shiva is. And she glorifies. So here we can see she is angry and she is going to speak very harshly. She is going to give left and right to her father. But that is not considered blasphemy. Rather, it is taken as being defensive, to protect virtue of great devotee. It is not blasphemy. There is a difference between blasphemy and being defensive, to protect someone, especially Vaishnavas, great Vaishnavas and our Lord. When we criticize someone or we blaspheme someone, it is due to our envy, our false ego, or our enmity. Those kind of feelings are nurtured in the heart and it comes out into words, very harsh words. But here, Sati is trying to make them aware who Lord Shiva is. And that's why she is speaking very harshly. Over the few classes we have heard, many devotees have glorified Lord Shiva's position. So Lord Shiva is definitely not an ordinary jiva. We all know that from the presentation of Bhagavatam. How did all these things started? When in the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma procreated, I mean, many great personalities appeared from Lord Brahma. One of them was Lord Shiva and of course Prajapati Daksha as well. They are brothers in that sense. And Prajapati had many daughters and one of them was Mother Sati. So Brahma's suggestion was to accept it. Okay, I'll get her married to Lord Shiva. The main point was he thought that, you know, see what kind of person this Lord Shiva is. You know, he doesn't know even how to dress properly. He puts deer skin on his body, then, you know, wears some human skulls, garland of, made of human skulls, bones. Snake is all around, and, you know, he smears ashes from the cremation, crematorium, dead body. So these kind of things are considered very impure and inauspicious. Later, Mother Sati will clarify that. And even we hear Prabhupada also gives example. For example, sun is so powerful that even the filthiest place on the earth, people pass urine and stool, for example, and sewage is flowing on the ground. So if you pass through such area, you will get contaminated because of the smell and everything. You know, you have to take bath. It's not considered clean. But that doesn't mean that sun is being contaminated by such places. In fact, that sun purifies and sterilizes such area to the point that, you know, that whole dirt, whole pollution has been taken away. So that's the power of sun. The sun never gets contaminated, but we do. But in Daksha's vision, he thought Lord Shiva is impure and contaminated because he does all these things. He forgot that, you know, Lord Shiva is an expansion of Lord Krishna, and he cannot be impure, although he appears to be like that. So that's how it started, and then there was a yajna happening. Lord Shiva was also present, and Daksha entered the arena. Everyone stood up to give him respect, but Lord Shiva. So that made him very upset, very angry, and he criticized Lord Shiva at that point. And then we know whole thing, cursing and counter-cursing, and, you know, whole thing just gone bad, whole situation. And then for many thousands of years, they didn't see each other. And then another yajna was performed by this Prajapati, and Mother Sati wanted to attend that. But in this purport we hear that her intention was not that she wanted to see her father, mother, sisters and other relatives, and, you know, participate into great, grand sacrifice that is performed. Her main intention was to see whether Lord Shiva is being respected or not. Of course she knew, because Lord Shiva himself said that, your father doesn't like me, so better not to go. But her purpose was to purify her father, deliver her father. That was her sole purpose. It's been revealed here in purport, and in subsequent verses we will see that. And also Daksha is being called as a personification of blasphemy. In one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that he personifies envy, he personifies blasphemy, personifies anger. And because of this quality, we'll see that he doesn't advance in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. Later, he gets into trouble after this sacrifice. Not even is finished, you know. Within some time, Mother Sati quits her body, and then Lord Shiva sends Veerbhadra to kill Daksha and all, dismantle whole sacrifice. And Daksha is killed, and later on he gets goat's head. And then again, out of embarrassment, he quits that body, and then later on, next Manvantar, he becomes again Daksha. But that time he wasn't so powerful, he realized that. Then he performed another yajnas, and then he happened to see Lord Vishnu again. But still, his heart is not pure. Later on, we'll see in the future cantos that he end up even criticizing and cursing Narad Muni. Right? So, when we blaspheme and criticize unduly great devotees, we'll have that reaction. We'll not advance in spiritual life. Or it will be very slow. And the significance of him getting goat's head was very interesting. Few times I was thinking, you know, there is many incidents in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and many other places that great Vaishnavas, they take grass straw in their mouth, and then they present themselves in front of great personalities. For example, Rupa Goswami, when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before approaching that, he put a blade of grass between his teeth and then approached Mahaprabhu. What does that signify? I did ask few devotees, but then later on I found the answer, finally. Radha Govind Maharaj was mentioning this. So he says that signifies that you are considering yourself as an animal, as good as an animal. Animal is the symbol of ignorance. He doesn't know what is good and what is bad, what is supposed to be done, what is purpose of my life, and so on and so forth. You know, he doesn't know. So he is very ignorant. Animal signifies ignorance. So when devotees take bit of grass in their mouth, they are showing, you know, animals, they go and always they are eating, mating, sleeping and defeating. These four things are performed by animals. And you will see sometime, you know, cows, you know, when they walk, still some grass is stuck on their mouth. You know? So even same with goat or any other animals who eat grass. And they walk around, you know, they even don't know, after eating I should wash my face, for example, you know. So they are symbol of ignorance. So Daksha is received that goat's head also signifies that he doesn't know what is the purpose of my life. I meant to serve Lord Krishna and elevate myself and go back to Godhead. And same time I must respect great devotees and especially Lord Shiva. So he was given that animal's head. So one must be very careful in spiritual life. Being devotee, we should be very careful in our dealings. Vaishnava etiquettes, Mahaprabhu says, it's like ornaments of a devotee. We may be wearing, you know, simple dhoti kurta saris. We may not put up ornaments, but our real ornaments are our etiquettes, our behavior. And among all the items of our etiquettes, the way we talk, the way we deal with other devotees, and whatever we do, the most important item of our etiquettes is our speech. How we speak, that can change our life and the other person's life. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, we'll hear Sri Krishna describes austerity of speech. So that consists four items. How the speech in mode of goodness being identified. The first one is your speech has to be very truthful, absolute truthful. One shouldn't lie. This thing, in Kali Yuga, this is the only quality, actually speaking, left. all other qualities are gone. And the principle of dharma is being held by at least this one quality, still surviving. But even I have seen in my Krishna conscious life, you know, we become so casual. You know, sometimes we don't realize even that I lied. You know, but actually, subtly, slowly, slowly, we are breaking that leg of dharma by lying here and there. You know, so one should be very truthful in our dealing. Second quality was our speech should not be agitating to others. It shouldn't agitate others. There is also a little difference there. You know, one may speak and it may sound very harsh. But there's difference. You know, agitation means you are criticizing someone. And you are pulling down that person and hurting that person. That is agitation. One may speak. That may because there's difference. You know, third quality is our speech should be very pleasant. So the difference between pleasant speech and non-agitating speech is that it may be pleasing. Our speech may be pleasing, but it agitates. And sometimes it agitates, you are not affected. You know, you are not pleased either, neither displeased. So there is a subtle difference between these two. I may come to you and say, you know, oh, that devotee, you know, didn't do a very nice job, for example, you know, he did like that. So you may hear, you know, it not agitating to you, but actually it's not pleasing. Right? And then if that person is present, and if you criticize that person in front of them, that is agitating. And of course, it's not pleasing to that person either. But the third person, it may not appear as, you know, pleasing or non-pleasing. You know, it's just neutral. So there's a little difference between that. You know, how intention, what intention you have while speaking. So these are the three things. Your speech must be truthful, non-agitating, then very pleasing to other. And fourth one is, it should be beneficial to that person. And the fifth one is also mentioned that always reciting Vedic scriptures. So these five items consist speech in mode of goodness. Very good speech it considered. And among these five items, what is the most important item? Anyone guess?
Useful.
Yes, beneficial, useful. So one may neglect other items according to time, place and circumstance, but one should not neglect this aspect, that your speech should always be very beneficial to the other person. So here in this case we see Sati, Mother Sati, is speaking very harshly. It may appear very unpleasant and maybe even agitating. And of course she is speaking truth, no doubt about that. And from Shastra she is speaking. But most important thing is, it is very beneficial to those who heard, and especially to her father. So that's the quality of what Mother Sati is going to speak. Another point being noted, that Prajapati means he is supposed to look after all the citizens. Prajapati, pati means one who takes care, who gives care and protects. And Praja means people in general, society. So Prajapati, that is his position. The responsibility he has been given is that of that he must look after and care for all these citizens. And for that reason only he is performing all the yagyas, time to time, for welfare of all the living entities. But here we see, in that yajna itself, great chaos happens, this fight happens, and then to the extent it goes that his own daughter dies. Imagine. And he is not even protecting her own daughter, his own daughter. And he is supposed to basically look after all the citizens, but he's failed to protect his own daughter. So what kind of example, what kind of example he is setting? You know? And later on, sages are very astonished that being Prajapati, he is supposed to look after all the citizens, but he couldn't protect even his own daughter. So what is that? You know, they it got perplexed, all the demigods and great sages were wondering what happened. So the reason is being given that Daksha became very hard-hearted. And why? Because of his great exalted position that was given by Lord Brahma. And being in that position, he developed a lot of false ego. And a lot of other qualities, bad qualities. Basically, it comes down to six enemies of jiva. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. These are the six enemies that bewilders jiva and make them act very, very low class. So ultimately, these six enemies are the cause. Daksha was in that position, and because he was gaining puja, labh, pratishtha, adoration, fame, and respect, he became addicted to those kind of things. And rather than seeing the greater purpose in life, he is very much materially attached to all those things. And at the point when he didn't get that, he became angry and he blasphemed Lord Shiva. So one must be very careful. And Prabhupada writes, you know, men sometimes become very, very hard-hearted, and woman is soft-hearted. That's a general explanation. But every jiva, you know, either woman or man, you know, everyone is very much prone to get affected by all these bad qualities and prone to be attacked by these six enemies of jiva. In Ramayana we see Kaikeyi, for example, she became so hard-hearted that she is telling her husband, Dashrath Maharaj, that, you know, you give my son kingdom and banish Ram to the forest, and he should live like a sage. He shouldn't carry any opulence with him. And Dasrath Maharaj was shocked hearing that, and he tried to convince her so she could make some adjustment and change her mind and ask for some other boons, but she didn't. She was so hard-hearted that she didn't even give second thought what Dasrath Maharaj is saying. And to the point, Dasrath Maharaj was mentioning, you know, I know Bharat will never take the kingdom, but still, I don't mind, you know, I'll make Bharat king. But the second boon you are asking, you know, I cannot accept. You know, he is my life and soul, Lord Ram. I cannot live without him. Please, you know, ask something else. But she didn't budge. And then Maharaj Dasrath saw that my time has come. You know, Kal is speaking through her that, you know, my time has come. You know, Lord Ram will go away and that will cause my death. So he even predicted that, you know, I'll die. But still, she was so blinded by these negative qualities, she couldn't see that she is going to become widow in few days. That is a great loss for any married woman to lose husband. But she herself is becoming cause of her husband's death, and she is not able to see that. So this is how this lower qualities blind a person, that your immediate loss is also not being seen. And same thing happens with here in this case. Daksha is not able to see that in front of her, his eyes, her daughter is being, his daughter is being, she quits her body and she is dead, and he is not able to stop. He became so hard-hearted. So these are the reaction. These are the manifestation of association with the bad qualities of material nature. And another point comes that Sati wanted to do good to her father, and she is speaking so harshly. This act of her is glorified. It is praiseworthy. It is not something to be looked down upon. It is praiseworthy. When it comes to Krishna consciousness, when you have two options, you know, whether to take Krishna, whether to accept devotees or guru and take their instruction and follow their path, or you have completely opposite. You may get a lot of adoration, name, fame, respect, opulence, take up Krishna and devotees and Krishna consciousness and give up everything. There is one beautiful song in Gujarati written by Narasimha Mehta, and he says that kud tajiye kutumb tajiye tajiye maane bapre bhagini sut dara tajiye nav tajiye harinamre. So like that. So he mentions that Kul means dynasty. One should be ready to even give up dynasty. One should be ready to even give up family. And even mother and father, even brother, wife, husband, sister, whoever they are, no matter. So one should be ready to give up all those things if they are not favorable to your Krishna consciousness. But one should not give up holy name, Harinam. And there are many examples in the Shastra itself. And then in that poem itself, he one by one establishes what he so said. He establishes the truth from the Bhagavatam. And he gives example, you know, Pratham Pita Prahladita Jiyo. Prahlad gave up his father for Krishna. Bharat Shatrughna Tyaji Janeta. Bharat and Shatrughna, they gave up their mother for Lord Ram. And Dasrath Maharaj gave up his wife, Kaikeyi. He said, you know, as long as I live, don't show me your face. Because it was such a hard thing to accept. And then Guru Patni, Brahman Patnis, they gave up their husbands for Lord Krishna. And then he gave Vrajvanita, Sarvetyaji, Vrajvanita, gopis, they gave up everything for Lord Krishna. So here we see Mother Sati is exemplifying that. She is pet daughter of her father, and her father is great personality. But for sake of establishing the position of Lord Shiva and to give him justice and favor, she even gave up her father. She doesn't want to have any relationship with him. And the body is given by her father, that also gives her pain. Sometimes Lord Shiva calls her by name Dakshayani, so daughter of Daksha. So when Sati hears that, she feels pain. Because she knew, you know, Daksha is not the is a personification of blasphemy. And I have some connection with him, so she doesn't like that. So she gave up, even her father. And someone can ask, see, Mother Sati is a Maya Devi personified. She is Maya Devi. She is so powerful. Here the word, the name given to her is Adishwari. Adishwari means very powerful person. So she has, one of the purports you will see, she has capacity to even annihilate many, many universes and many, many dakshas like this. And why she didn't do that? She would have easily killed Daksha. And even she is very, she basically controls whole universe and puts everyone into illusion. But it appears that, she herself is being illusion. She got into illusion, and she commits suicide. Suicide is varji, it's forbidden according to Shastra. Why she committed suicide? So someone can ask all these questions. But the reason is, if she kills her father, then it will bring bad name to her husband. Then people will say that, Lord Shiva is not powerful. What Daksha was saying is correct. He is just an ordinary Jiva. And he used Sati to kill Daksha. He sent his wife to go and kill Daksha. So that will bring bad name to Lord Shiva. So Mother Sati is thinking like that, and that's why she didn't kill, to retain the glory of Lord Shiva. And then why she committed suicide? Why not other things? It says that when someone is blasphemed, especially a great devotee, there are four ways one should deal. One is you defeat that person by argument, or you leave that place immediately. Don't hear any blasphemy and criticism. You just leave that place. Second thing you do is you cut their tongue and kill them. The Shastra says kill them. And the third, fourth thing you should do is you kill yourself. These are the way you should deal with if you encounter a blasphemer. And it has been said that who should do what. So for Brahmana, they should either argue and defeat that person or immediately leave. They shouldn't kill that person, or neither they shouldn't cut that tongue. They shouldn't do. And they shouldn't commit suicide either. Because if they do that, then the other person will get the sin of killing a Brahmana. So they should be very, very careful. So they should either establish the truth by argument or leave the place. But Kshatriyas, they have power and they have authority, so they should cut the tongue and kill that person. They should do that. And the Vaishyas and Sudras, they should kill themselves. They shouldn't take any of the other approaches. So Sati is considering herself to be low-born. In her utmost humility, she considers, I am low-born. Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Striyo, Vaishya, Tatha, Shudra. So he puts these three categories into low-born, inferior births, basically. So Sati considers that she is inferior by birth. So she didn't take, although she has established the truth of Lord Shiva by arguing. But Daksha didn't accept. She didn't want to kill because she didn't want to bring ill name to Lord Shiva. So then later on she committed suicide. So these are the few points. In Glory of Mother Sati, and what we are supposed to do and what not. It's almost 9 o'clock, just 5 minutes left. If anyone has any question, please ask. Any clarification or any...
You're saying Mother Sati is my lady.
Yes.
And so she's the same personality as Parvati and Sati.
Yes. So she will take birth again as a son of daughter of Himalaya, and she will again unite with Lord Shiva. So she is same person. And even Daksha, when he takes birth again, he blasphemes and criticizes Narad Muni, but he is same person basically, in different manvatar. Yes, Prabhu.
Two questions. Like, first one, what does it mean when we say, like, truth one is the last type of creation?
What is what?
What does it mean? Like, what is the meaning when we say, like, truth one is the last type of religion?
Religion is standing. In first canto, we hear that. Dharmaraj is taking form of a bull, and four legs represents four virtues: truthfulness, cleanliness, then mercy, and austerities. Yes. These are the four legs on dharma stands on. So as time passes, these three qualities, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, has been vanquished. We see a lot of slaughterhouses going around, so there is no mercy left. A lot of illicit sex is happening, no cleanliness is there, internal, external. And intoxication. Liquor, alcohol is very prominent in society, so that is also gone. But there is some truthfulness left. Still, even in material world, you know, karmic people, they uphold some kind of truth. You know, recently I heard the news. I was there looking on internet, and just a few days back, Apple company sacked one of his engineers because he leaked iPhone 10, so some video he put up on the internet, his daughter put up on internet, and he breached the privacy law, for example, you know, and he got sacked. Yeah, people uphold some kind of truth, you know, even in karmic world, you know, that's what I want to say. Although purpose is completely different. And so in spiritual life also, you know, people have, this is the only quality left in little minute quantity in Kali Yuga. So one should be very careful to protect at least this last quality which is left in the Kali Yuga. But for devotee, we are upholding all the qualities, basically, you know. We are following all four regulative principles. That is actually representing these four legs of dharma. So unless we become sinless, pure in our activities, we cannot proceed further in Krishna consciousness. That following four regulatory principles makes us human being, and from that we can elevate further to Krishna consciousness. So these are must, it is prerequisite for any devotee. Yeah. In general, you know, we are very careful, you know, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no meditating. But truthfulness, I have seen, you know, we just casually lie so many times here and there in our dealings, and we don't even realize. So that's why I pointed out, one should be very careful in being truthful. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Why does Shiva have a snake on his neck?
Why does he have snake on his head around his neck? Is there any explanation, Prabhu, in Samudra Manthan, Leela? Why Lord Shiva has snake around his
face?
One little humor comes in my mind, if you allow, I can tell. Radha Govind Maharaj says that. So one poet, it says kavi means, you know, jana paunche ravi tya paunche kavi. where sun even can't reach, the kavi, the poet reaches there. It says like that. So he made up like that, you know. No blasphemy to Lord Shiva. But Maharaj was explaining in a nice way, just a joke in between class. So he said, Lord Shiva, why he drank poison? Mm-hmm. So this kavi, this poet is telling that, see, Lord Shiva has a bull as his career. He rides on the bull. Mother Parvati has a tiger. A tiger or lion?
Lion.
Lion.
Tiger,
okay. Lion. It's not tiger. So this tiger is always keeping eye on that bull. You know, when can I eat that? You know. And then his sons, one of them has a mouse, and one of them has peacock. Mm-hmm. You know. So this. And then Lord Shiva has a snake around his neck, you know. So this snake is always keeping eye on that mouse, you know, when can I eat that? So Lord Shiva has to, you know, keep him, you know, under control all the time, you know, around his arm and like that, you know, so it doesn't let loose and go and eat the mouse, you know. And then that peacock wants to eat the snake. So there's always, you know, some trouble going on in between. And then time to time, you know, Mother Parvati, you know, I want to go to my father's house, you know, please come, you know, I want to do this and that. You know. So ultimately he got fed up, you know, oh my God, you know, I don't want to deal with all these things. So that's why he went and drank the poison, you know. Too much dealing with wife and all this, you know, paraphernalia. Just end my life. So this is just a imagination of the kavi, but the reality is something else. Okay. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.